Hi, everyone. Investment firms and their portfolio companies don't always see eye to eye on ethics and compliance. But today, we'll be showcasing two companies where ESG and compliance are most definitely part of the plan. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is the Ethicast. Investment company KKR doesn't just invest in enterprises like data science company FeedsEye. It spends a huge amount of time and energy making sure that the ethics and compliance priorities of itself and its various portfolio companies fully align. In the case of KKR and FeedsEye, this effort creates a virtuous cycle of value creation that Ethisphere SVP of Measurement Craig Moss knows well. Craig works with KKR and FeedsEye to ensure that their ethics and compliance efforts magnify each other. And in this episode, we'll hear from Craig as he interviews KKR's Chief Compliance Officer of International Operations, Mark Howard, and Ligia Gutierrez-Setubal, Associate General Counsel of FeedsEye. And now, without further delay, here's Craig, Mark, and Ligia.
It's great to be here for this Ethicast with two of my good friends and longtime colleagues, Mark and Ligia. So today we're going to talk about the relationship between a private equity firm and a portfolio company and how that plays into the whole discussions and actions around compliance and ESG. So I'm going to start off with you, Mark. At KKR, how important is compliance and ESG in the performance of your portfolio company? And does this really vary based on the fund or the industry the company's in?
That's a great question, Craig. We at KKR strongly believe that compliance and ESG, you know, can be a real driver of value creation. You know, it's embedded in everything that we do. You know, starting from sourcing transactions throughout our ownership and then to exit. We have a number of programs that we partner with our companies with around compliance and ESG. I mean, as an example, on the compliance side, it's really assessing, you know, a lot of their internal compliance programs, you know, ahead of time and really partnering with them to improve it, you know, during that period, and sort of working with companies like Ethisphere, you know, to really help transition some of that. Clearly, we're in a period of huge regulatory change around ESG. Mm-hmm. And talking from a European perspective, directives such as the Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regime, the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, the CSDDD, you know, there's a lot out there. And I think this is starting to really impact firms with global businesses. And so, you know, as we think about looking at new businesses, you know, it's very much in mind of how these directives operate, working with them to think about how they integrate them into their businesses. I would say we do have some baseline standards as a key that how important it is. And around compliance, it's assessing things like policies and procedures, resources, testing and auditing programs, what technology they have. Around ESG, we have four key pillars that we think about before we look at every potential target company, and that's around management and governance, around climate, human capital, data responsibility. So they're kind of the themes that we ensure are kind of central to any target companies that we're looking at. But to your point, Craig, we do stay flexible. You know, every company is very different, and you have to bring a different lens. And again, of course, depending on your level of control and ownership, will also really dictate how much you can change as well.
Ligia, you and I have worked together with, you've been in at least two different KKR portfolio companies. From your side, post-investment, there are a lot of competing pressures. And how do you keep compliance and ESG on the agenda inside the company?
So, first of all, thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure to talk to you, great friends and partners, business partners for a long, long time now. We have been working together on this agenda, the compliance and ESG agenda, for a long time now. So, and you know how critical it is to be in the forefront of compliance and have these technology companies, which are fast-paced companies. We do have a lot to do in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And we want to have, and we understand that it's critical for long-term sustainability and for the success of the company. So we do embed compliance in the ESG on the company's overall strategy. So it's part of our decision-making. When we are doing things, we understand that this is absolutely critical to move forward and to be successful as a company. We do monitor all the mechanisms to track compliance. So we have a regulatory landscape. We understand the laws and regulations too, and understand how flexible you should be, take risks, reduce risks, have a matrix in order to have a baseline to work. So we do engage with our stakeholders. We have a close connection with KKR. We understand how important it is to have our investors happy and our customers or our employees. They all have to be on the same track. So what do? We usually raise awareness. We do trainings. We have gatherings so people can understand how critical ESG and compliance is for the growth of the company to make it sustainable. And indeed, our product states that, because our product is to prevent financial crime, as you all know, and right. We have a social responsibility around the world. You turn on the TV, everything, you know, there's corruption everywhere, fraud, etc. So we do have that social responsibility as well. So I think it's embedded within our culture, our DNA. So we do not lose track of compliance and ESG as something that is really important for us as a company.
Mark, when you're looking at a company, both pre-investment, post-investment, through that hold period and exit, talk to me a little bit about the pre-investment side and then how that transitions to post-investment, whatever kind of due diligence you do, and then how that transitions after investment.
Sure. Well, it's very much a staged process, Craig. You know, I would say at the very early stage, really before we're sort of doing a deep dive on the diligence side, you know, we work side by side with our global ESG teams. We have weekly diligence calls where, you know, when there's new names that come onto the pipelines, we're talking about material risks that may be around a company or a target. Or an industry, you know, where we've had experience before, really to level set kind of the areas that we really want to focus on. From there, members of the ESG team and the compliance team really form part of the transactional deal teams to work alongside, you know, identify key material risks and really help them to scope diligence. As I mentioned at the outset, Craig, you know, we do have some kind of gating items, which are kind of our kind of baseline standards. Mm-hmm. You know, we really do look at each company on a case by case in order to risk rate and targets. Clearly, if there's a target company that has a lot of government interaction, you know, we're very focused on a lot of the FCPA and a lot of the anti-corruption type risks. As we go through our process, and really that's also staged to the period of time in which it's going through the internal review process. So we get all of our initial risks into the early stage investment committees. So the leadership of the firm are considering the compliance and ESG risk factors. And then when we really do the deep dive, you know, we have our own advisors that will go in and assess things like the compliance program, thinking about, you know, the resources they have, you know, how they think about monitoring, you know, the risks that they have in the business, how they get reported up through governance, etc. So it's quite a detailed program. We also do relatively deep dive background checks on the company, again, just to make sure if there's intelligence out there, mm-hmm. that we have the best information when we're making decisions around the company.
That sounds interesting. And then that transitions into post-investment, right? That pre-investment due diligence, once you make the acquisition, transitions over. Now, Ligia, from your point of view, I know like post-investment, there's a lot going on. I mentioned that before. How do you set priorities within the ESG and compliance area about what to tackle first? And then how do you build consensus around that internally? And then the third part I'm going to load into this question is, how important is KKR support in picking those priorities and getting your senior management buy-in?
Oh, I have a lot to say about all of these three questions, but I'll try to be simple. So to tackle first, you know, ESG is pretty broad, right? It ranges from the environment, social responsibility, governance. Here at FeedsEye, we do tackle it we've built our foundational program. And for example, on the social piece, on the employees' well-being, we have a D&I week totally dedicated to diversity and inclusion because we know how important it is. We have a menstrual leave day. We have a mental health day. All in the social pillar, we have a lot of initiatives which are very important and clearly a priority to us. As a company, because how we know how important it is, be also to the world around us, because we set some benchmark and we hear our peers and we hear our clients, and this is becoming global. So everybody wants to hear and know what all the companies are doing. So we have a business quite focused on data, on AI. So we take that privacy very seriously, of course, and all around responsible AI. This is pretty important for us because our product, we are within this space. That's why we are in the forefront of this, of the innovation. So building consensus internally, I would say here is quite organic. We have a great leadership. We have also on the ESG part, we also have this message coming from our CEO. It is public at our website. I invited you to go there, where we state our commitment and how important it is for the world and for the company. So we engage with leadership. We show a business case which is solid, which grows with the company. We educate our people. And we set clear goals and we hold ourselves accountable. So that's why this links to KKR. Of course, we have this great relationship and it's so easy to talk to each other and to ask for guidance and to collaborate, exchange synergies. This is absolutely great. Where you have a partner in which you can rely on, it's very easy to work together. That's why we are having this conversation, the three of us, because it's organic, so it's great.
Yeah, you bring up a really interesting point. And I think KKR, I want to really compliment KKR because the integration and coordination between the deal teams and the compliance teams is really first class at that organization. And from my experience, and I've worked with probably 100 KKR portfolio companies, they send a consistent message to the portfolio companies. I've been involved in other situations where the portcos get very inconsistent messages from the deal team versus the compliance team. And I never really see that happening at KKR. So I want to compliment Mark, you and the culture that you have there on that. Mark, from your point of view, there are a lot of issues. Ligia mentioned this. There are a lot of issues under ESG and compliance, right? Environmental issues, social issues, data privacy issues. How do you go about, are there some that are more important to you, or is it something you let the portfolio company determine more based on their risk profile?
I think it's very much a partnership with the portfolio companies, Craig. And again, it gets back to that collaborative approach that we have with our portfolio companies. Clearly, we have a view when we go in what the key risks are, and we work with the portfolio companies in identifying certain management action plans, some KPIs around certain ESG matters, as an example. And we get regular quarterly reporting from the portfolio companies into KKR around some of those action points. And we have regular check-ins as well. But I would say the lists of areas that we focus on really it very much does vary. And again, it requires us to be fluid with each investment. As I mentioned at the outset, we do, from an ESG perspective, we do have four pillars that we think about for every portfolio company. And, you know, they're certainly the ones where we're focused on. If I think about the compliance side, the real sort of hot areas right now that we're focused on. Clearly, we do a lot of work around anti-corruption. And again, Ethisphere have been a huge partner for us in helping us to think about, you know, how we bring a baseline standard to our portfolio companies around some of those controls. Mm-hmm. But given the geopolitical environment right now, economic sanctions is a big thing we're focused on from a compliance perspective, given the world we operate in. Right. And again, you know, just thinking about, you know, technology that portfolio companies use, you know, we think that we're pretty much on the forefront of our industry and what we use, but we're always open to learn from our portfolio companies as well. If they've got great screening tools, then, you know, I want to hear about them and I want to implement them. And mm-hmm. that's certainly been the case. And you know, and Lucia and I, you know, you sort of like brainstorm around some of these points.
Mark, quick follow-up question to you. From your side, are you getting more pressure or more responsive from your investors or regulators? Like, what drives your decision-making?
It's a bit of a both, and that's a part of the compliance program that the KKR compliance leadership work on. You know, each year we set a list of strategic priorities, and quite a lot of those are, I would say, value add from the portfolio perspective. And so we're thinking about some of those hot topics. Yeah, it's a fluid program, Craig. And, you know, and we talk to you, you know, I mean, one of the things that I really enjoy doing as well is we've implemented quarterly calls with our portfolio companies, you know, to really sort of think about some of those hot topics, whether it's one we're thinking about right now is the European Whistleblowing Directive. You know, how does that impact all of our global portfolio companies? You know, partner with you on those quarterly calls to really, you know, provide some market leading guidance around some of these hot topics.
Yeah, I think those quarterly calls are really a fascinating thing that you guys do. And the attendance that you get is really amazing. I mean, there's usually hundreds of portfolio companies that attend the quarterly calls. So from my point of view, that's been fantastic because we're able to reach a large audience with a short key message around a hot topic. So that's been and that again is something that I think KKR does that I haven't really seen other organizations do and institutionalize it the way you guys have. Ligia, over to you. We've done a lot of work together. You mentioned before about goal setting. And you know, that's part of what we do with you. It's all about measure and improve and setting goals and things like that. From your point of view, talk a little bit about the work relationship that we've had and what are the things that have been most valuable to you?
This is something that I really enjoy talking about because it's really helped me personally to set expectations within the company and manage a project from end to end in a way that is measurable. I can hold myself accountable for it and the company. And we set goals and we showcase them. And that's a joy. That's something that I really enjoy doing is finishing a project and showcase it to you and say, we did it. It's great. What we do is things with impact. We understand our business. You hear me a lot, I know, because sometimes we have the idea A and I come to the call and I say, Craig, let's do something else, something completely different. And the thing that I like about the collaboration is that you never say no. So we have this great partnership and you say, okay, I like the idea. Let's set our milestones. Let's define tasks. Let's set a timeline. And that's absolutely critical. If you want to take something to the very end successfully, then you can showcase to your investors and to the world. And our ESG program was exactly that. The quarterly calls you mentioned, absolutely on point when it came to raise awareness on ESG, things that we want to do. Your Bella Resource Center, it's absolutely great. I use that a lot on data privacy. So that's something that I can talk a lot. I said it before, but I think it's basically it.
Yeah, no, and you are, of all the people I've worked with in the different companies, you are one of the most organized and really have excel at understanding how to pull together the various parts of a project and keep it on track. And it really is. And that's one thing that's interesting is every portfolio company, they all have a different project management style. So from my point of view, I don't want to be overly prescriptive about how you manage a project. What I need to do for all the portcos is try to help them set goals, set milestones, and keep moving. I want to compliment you on your approach to it is just really, really top notch. And you get things done. You always hit the goals, which is great.
And I would add, Craig, I mean, sort of being a part of this, but one step removed and sort of overseeing the work that you do with Ligier and teams. You clearly have your set frameworks, which, you know, are all equally very, very good. But Ligier certainly always pushes you to do something that's very bespoke for their business. And I think that's a real strong message I would give about how you guys support us. As Ligier said, the answer is never no. And, you know, it's great. We've institutionalized how you guys support us from, you know, from the early stage investment. You know, I think what's important for us, we do diligence on the pre-acquisition side. Actually, having you guys come in, have a standardized approach, how we think about some of these risk categories is really critical. And whatever action plans come out of those, the way that you drive priorities, which are all actionable, and like our chief compliance officers and legal counsels have all got very busy day jobs. But whatever programs you set with the teams, you know, they're always actionable and we always see results, which is great.
You know, and what we try to do is we try to be practical and try to pick topics that are going to integrate into the business and give them some kind of business advantage. So it's not seen as like something sitting over here that's a compliance topic.
Yeah.
The other thing that's been interesting is we've evolved our work with you. I know we started by focusing primarily on anti-corruption, but it's evolved with our holistic compliance and ESG assessment. One of the cool things about that from my point of view is we go in and we can look at the maturity of the organization in each of the risk topics, and then we can look at the inherent risks they have in that topic. So a certain company might be very low maturity in something like antitrust, but it might not matter at all. Whereas if they're low maturity in data privacy, it might be a huge risk factor for them. So that's been one of the things that I've really enjoyed. And working with both you, Ligier, and you, Mark, to have the flexibility to use that kind of system to really help to prioritize has been great. I think we're getting to the point we're going to wrap up. I'll start with you, Ligier. Anything you want to say in closing, and then over to Mark.
I think I've said it all. Thank you so much for everything. I look forward to our future projects and probably do this again because we keep growing and FeedZai keeps growing. And this is something that it's important not only for the company, but in what concerns ESG, it's good for everybody. So let's do more.
A real big thank you to you and the FSA team, really, Craig. You know, the projects that we run with you, you know, they bring so much more than just process enhancements. It helps us build our relationships with the portfolio companies. So a great thanks from the KKR team.
To learn about Ethisphere's ESG and compliance assessment services, including pre-close diligence, 100 days post-close, and exit planning, visit ethisphere.com/solutions. To learn more about FeedZai, the world's first AI-based risk ops platform designed to stop fraud and financial crime, visit feedzai.com. That's FEEDZAI.com. And for additional thought leadership from Craig Moss, be sure to check out 3 Ways Generative AI is Transforming Supply Chain Risk Management, available on both the Ethicast and at magazine.ethisphere.com. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.